And we're discussing a book now about one of my childhood heroes, the late, great Alan Gilzean. His authorised biography is out now, The King of White Hart Lane. And the author of the book, Mike Donovan, with us in the studio. Hi, Mike. Good to see you.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
The thing about Alan Gilzean was, to give a bit of background to it, this is when I first started going to watch sort of Tottenham, he was a member of the side. And after his career, he was someone, often old players would turn up at the club, as every club has this, a player goes on the pitch, they're invited on at half-time, they speak to the crowd, they're still involved with the club. And there were a number of players at Tottenham over the years that have done that, but Alan Gilzean wasn't one of them. He kind of disappeared completely. And he only came back to the club. He just turned up one day for a game against West Ham, and he was there on the pitch with our very own Paul Coit here at Talksport. And suddenly he loved it. He clearly loved it, because he felt that he didn't want to come back because he thought no one would remember him. And I thought it was incredibly sad that he didn't realise how much this guy was revered and loved by the fans of this football club. And why was that? Why did he not know that?
Well, he just felt he had his time, and that, you know, he was interested in this old man, you know, and he thought, you know, give the guys who were in the team the chance to be in the limelight rather than him. You know, he didn't want to hog their limelight. I mean, that was basically his character.
Yeah.
He was a kind of...
No, a man without ego, by the sound of it.
Yeah, well, he was. He was very reserved, and, you know, he obviously had an inner confidence, knew he was really a very good player, but... You know, if you were in company, he would never say, if they didn't know him, he would never say, oh, don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
You know, he was that kind of guy.
Yeah, a lot of people will be listening and would never have seen him play. You should describe, I mean, I remember I think he's a wonderful player.
Yeah, well, it's I suppose, you know, he gets compared to Berbatov, I guess.
He does,
he's the nearest kind of comparison.
He looked
it's
a bit like
comparison.
Him, and he played like him, didn't he? This sort of languid style. He always seemed to have more time on the ball than most other players on the pitch, didn't he?
They're both very unorthodox players, aren't they? Kind of, you know, they're one-offs. And I think with Gilly, he just had that, I don't know, he had that something about him, you know,
he had a signature move, didn't he? The gilly flick.
The gilly flick.
The header.
That's right.
I mean,
he's like
Crichton in Red Dwarf, you know, he could go off at any...
He was a bald man,
I'm trying to copy him.
I know, I was thinking that when you came in, he's got the same hairstyle.
But the year I watched him, there was a set piece that Tottenham had, which was Martin Chivers had the long throw, Alan Gilzean would go near post, it'd skim off his head, it was like skimming stones. It would pick up pace when it skimmed off of his head.
Yeah.
And in the latter years, Martin Peters would just be at the far post and he'd tap it in. They scored so many goals
as you say, that was a signature move. That was one they... I mean, I've spoken to Martin Chivers about it. It is kind of a... You know, it was worked on. I mean, what he's known for is really his partnership with Greaves and with Chivers, you know.
That's
I think Greaves was... I mean, well, I was there throughout the whole period. So, I mean, he said that Greaves was more an instinctive player and Chivers was more developed on the training ground kind of player.
But that says a lot for Gilzean, doesn't it? Because there he is with two very fruitful partnerships. Somebody who was a team man that was prepared very different players, and to work with two different partners and be successful with both says a lot about him as a player.
Because if you go back to his Dundee days, I mean, he was like goal scoring machine. He scored 169 goals in almost as many games.
Yeah, I mean, he's revered at Dundee as well, isn't he? I was part of a great Scotland side which was dominated by the sort of Lisbon Lions really at that time. There's a lot of Celtic players in that team,
he was a phenomenal player, really. I mean, he had so much going for him.
Yeah, the sad thing is, as we say, we kind of come back to those latter years. When he finally did come to a game and was on the pitch and was introduced to the crowd and got this incredible reception, and I think then realised that people did know who he was and did remember him, were glad to see him. He enjoyed it, didn't he? He enjoyed the camaraderie again of being with a lot of the kind of old legends in the club lounges. I wonder if there was any regret, Mike, that he felt he should have done it sooner.
He probably did. He just felt, you know, he was quite happy. He didn't spend his spare time with football people. Mm. You know, he was very much his own man. You know, after a match, he'd go off with his mates, and he wasn't really a kind of to go out with the Tottenham lad. So, he was his own man, and because he went into transport, which is not very sexy, but that's what he did, and he developed friends there, and he just felt I don't think it was a conscious decision to stay away. It's just the way he didn't even think about it. He didn't think anybody would be interested. And it's staggering. And when you see the last game at White Hart Lane, when he, he probably got, with him and Glenn Hoddle, probably got the best receptions, both the Kings of White Hart Lane. You know, and Alan Gilzean being the original one, as Paul Coyte said, you know.
The ones that enticed him back ultimately, it's an odd mix of... Pat Jennings, which is understandable, the former Spurs keeper, and a member of Snow Patrol.
Yeah.
Had a hand in it as well. Tell us how that all came about.
Yeah, that all started on a golf course, actually. Pat was playing, I think he was in Hertfordshire somewhere, and Tom Simpson, the old keyboard player with Snow Patrol, was there and said, "I'm going to see a mate of yours in a couple of days." He said, "What? You know, I haven't seen him for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, he said, "Good luck with that, but if you kind of, you know, if you do get hold of him, let me know." And, few days later, you know, he got a call.
How did Tom know Alan Gilzean then?
Tom's a Dundee, was from Dundee.
Right,
Snow Patrol were formed at University of Dundee, and he kind of is a big Dundee fan, as you know. And
Gilzean had gone back to Dundee more regularly than he had to Tottenham in the past.
I think, you know, I think it's kind of, he had family up there. I mean, he settled in Weston-super-Mare of all places. But he did regularly went back to Scotland. So he was more missed at Spurs, I think, than Dundee.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to attend his reunion dinners at Dundee and what have you.
We heard, as Tottenham fans, that he was ill and he died quite quickly, didn't he, sadly. I mean, I think everybody felt that they knew he was ill, but I think even you'd say his family in the book say it was all a lot sooner than they imagined.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, yeah, I mean, I was at that game, that mad game against Leicester, when it's 5-4, and everybody I've spoken to on it made mention of how, you know, how well he looked and everything else. Nobody even suspected it. And then but his son Ian, who was a fantastic
player,
he was a player at Spurs and Dundee, fantastic player, and a really nice guy who kind of opened up this book for me, because he kind of, with his kind of, you know, rubber stamp, helped me get the get to all the people I wanted to speak to.
Some great photos in the book, and one with him training with Cliff Jones and Jimmy Greaves in the days when they used to train at the ground.
Running around.
They didn't have training grounds.
That's right. Yeah, he had a. Well, he was, you know, despite, I mean, he had this reputation as a, you know, he liked to socialise and what have you. But according to people I've spoken to, he was probably the best trainer there. I mean, he could go around, you know, even when he was 30. I mean, Steve Perryman, who's got a book out as well.
Steve's in the next few weeks, actually.
Yeah, is he? Yeah, but he was... he remembers him being a fantastic trainer. He was a roommate. He was, Bill Nicholson put Steve Perryman when he was 17, put him in a room on away trips with Gilzean. And Chivers said to me, "What are they trying to do to this guy? Kill him, you know?"
Yeah.
Gilzean. And there was one story, he said that when they were when they were at a hotel and there was a team meeting in the morning, Bill Nicholson was in there and said to the team, "Look," he says, "the hotel manager's just come in and explained." He says, "You know, sorry about all the noise at, in the middle of the night, you know." He says, "You know," he says, "was," and Gilzean piped up and said, "Oh, was that about 3 a.m? He goes, "Oh, yeah, it was." And he said, "Well, yeah," he says, "yeah." He says, there's a couple of dolly birds up on the, banging on the door, on our door to get out.
The dolly birds. Yeah,
well, there I know, but that was Steve's expression.
Yeah. So... as we said, I suppose it's a lesson to the kind of players now that have decided not to go back to the club, or maybe been invited back to seize the day. It's worth it. You might feel that people have forgotten you, but I think it becomes very apparent quite quickly that they haven't, and you're still much loved at a club. And it's a shame that Gilly didn't get a couple more years to kind of feel that and to be with his old mates again at the club.
But at least he had those few years. I mean, Pat Jennings and C. Perryman were very, both of them got him back to the club.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Steve, I mean, you all read it in the book, but Steve Perryman had such wonderful tales to tell of him. I mean, he's such a nice guy. Used to, Yeah, if he said something, it was his word, and his word was his bond, kind of thing. He was, but he's very quiet, you know. Yeah. This is he's very quiet off the.
Yeah. So yeah, well, look, we recommend it. It's an interesting story. If you knew the player, if you didn't know the player, then I think you'll learn a lot from the book, and go and check him out. There's still stuff out there on YouTube. He was kind of a bit of a player out of time, Andy, wasn't he? I mean, he was sort of quite a modern player for that era. Yeah. So it's called The King of White Hart Lane, authorised biography of Alan Gilsing, written by Mike Donovan, published by Pitch. And Mike, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sports.